south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You longtime listeners know I absolutely hate Google. I pretty much feel the same about all social media, too. And of course, since this show is all about getting the hell out of Dodge and living, working, playing, and or just hanging out in Latin America... Once you get down here, you'll find everyone's on Google. They just absolutely love it. In fact, you can't find a single person here in Latin America who's against the Big Brother surveillance state stuff, because to them, really, it just doesn't matter. For them, it doesn't apply, at least not yet. Again, it's about the lag time thing. Don't you remember when Google, Facebook, and Instacrap first came out some years ago? Everyone up by you in the first world was 100% on board, and it really took probably 5 years, even more, for the smarter, more astute people to realize they're collecting everything about you and your life's history to use and sell like poker chips. And still, I'd be willing to bet probably not even 5% of first world people feel like me, and most of you listen to this show, that Google and most of social media are basically evil and in bed with countless U.S. government agencies, etc., etc. That's why I want to read something right now that's going to absolutely shock you. Though when I first read the article myself, I wasn't surprised. So maybe some of you won't be either. I mean, there's just so much bad news coming out of the first world lately, you get numb to it. So anyway, even if you're not shocked after you hear this, it'll serve as an excellent rebuttal to people who refuse to believe that Google and other social media platforms are not only undermining your life and destroying your privacy, they're manipulating data and your choices and the way you think. Anyway, after you hear this, you're going to think, man, that's great ammo. I got to get a copy of that. Believe me, you'll need all the ammo you can get to convince non-believers you might think are worth convincing. But for the rest of the 80 or 90% of sheep out there who just don't give a rip, nothing's going to convince them. They don't want to be convinced. They just want to be connected at all costs. They gladly give up their privacy, and as you'll see, much, much more, just to be connected, so they're not left out. And you know, I found out the hard way that nothing is harder to accept than the truth when it goes against your own biases and beliefs. All right, that said, here goes. And the title of this article says it all. Google to block anti-cancer, anti-vaccine, and anti-GMO websites at the browser level as tech giant goes all in with drug pharma cartel. It says by late 2020, Google's Chrome browser will automatically block so-called cancer and anti-GMO websites as part of Google's collapse into a Monsanto pharma criminal cartel. So, users who want to visit websites that expose the scientifically validated risks of drugs, GMOs, and vaccines, and chemotherapies, for example, the risks of spraying glyphosate, will have to use alternative browsers other than Google. Then it says, Google.com and Chrome search engines are already in the process of eliminating all such websites from its search results. All right, me Johnny here. Are you getting this? By the way, I just read an article that says 98% of all the maple syrup coming from Canada tests positive for glyphosate, the main herbicide chemical in Monsanto's Roundup. Now, you might like to know that the World Health Organization has identified glyphosate as a carcinogen in animals and humans. Who'd have thunk? Pristine Canada, invaded by Monsanto products. So then what can you do about it? Well, not much, except get the hell out of Dodge. Oh, and by the way, these days, every first world person tests positive for glyphosate in their tissues. My, my, isn't that good news? Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. So within a year, Google browsers such as Chrome will not allow the user to visit healthcare sites that are non-traditional. Though it is possible to go in and change the browser's default settings, most people will never attempt to do that. That means later in the year 2020, the only sites accessible through Google and Google Chrome will be those which are approved. Sites that, for example, promote medication, chemotherapy, GMO foods, pesticides, water fluoridation, mammograms, vaccinations, 5G cell towers, etc., etc. The usual suspects, which are, of course, very suspect. Then the article says, this is the conclusion from a very high-level source in the tech industry, a whistleblower, who some months ago alerted Natural News and other news sources to the coming purge of natural and organic food websites accessed through web browsers. Then it says, the situation has become so insane that Google is even planting search suggestion comments like, for example, organic food producers are lying to you, supplements and vitamins make for expensive urine, and supplements are bad for you, etc., etc. In fact, Google's algorithm has already been trained to claim that GMOs are actually good for you. So, in effect, the corporate establishment is pushing total censorship to keep the public trapped in a cycle of chronic disease. Me, Johnny here again. Have you heard the saying, a patient cured is a fee lost? That about says it all, huh? All right, then it says, it's the cycle of disease, medication, and ignorance that the big pharma corporate mega industries want to perpetuate. The war on nutrition and health is accelerating. Then it says, the Wall Street Journal just published a hit piece calling for tech giants to ban all websites with content that discusses natural alternatives to chemotherapy and websites that talk about alternatives to traditional cancer surgery. And you wonder why the FDA up in the States has not approved the newest and most effective kind of stem cell treatments, and why people have to go out of the country to get them. So in effect, there's a huge push right now to scrub the internet of any content that threatens Big Pharma's bottom line. All right, me, Johnny, again. You heard me mention on a past show a couple of times now that over 300,000 hip replacements are done every year in the U.S. Now, wouldn't you know it? For hospitals and orthopedic doctors, it's the most lucrative of operations. And the number one threat to that multi-billion dollar industry? Stem cell therapy. But you knew that already, right? And we haven't even mentioned the hundreds of thousands of knee and shoulder replacements either. In the States and the rest of the first world, joint replacement is a huge industry. An industry, by the way, that almost does not exist at all in Latin America. Why? Because there's almost no demand. In fact, just this morning I was talking to a little guy in a sombrero with his machete. Wary little guy and a badass gardener. He's 100 years old. I am not kidding. When you're out in the boonies, you see guys like that here and there still working out in the bush. They call it campo here. Guys 70, 80, 90, even 100 years old. Talk about joint replacements to one of those guys, they'll laugh at you because they have no idea what you're talking about. They've never even heard of those things. By the way, I was just watching a Joe Rogan podcast with that director, Kevin Smith, you know, that Silent Bob guy, amongst other things. Well, turns out in his mid-40s, he had a massive heart attack. He almost died, so he panicked and went vegan. Lost 100 pounds, and his doctors say he's almost fully recovered, but if he has another heart attack, it will probably be fatal. It's in his family. His dad had 2 heart attacks, and he died in his 50s. Then Joe Rogan said, have you heard of stem cell treatments? And Kevin Smith said, no. Tell me about it. Then Rogan said, I was scheduled to have surgery for a complete rotator cuff tear, but I opted for stem cell treatments first, and now my doctors say it's completely healed. Turns out, Rogan said, stem cell treatments are revolutionizing the entire sports medicine industry. So in the States, you've got all these sports medicine docs who are treating professionals, sending them out of the country to get stem cell treatments. Meanwhile, your local family doctors and orthopedic specialists are completely out of that loop because of what the FDA says they can and can't do. And of course, what the insurance companies say they will or will not pay for. But you knew that already too. Anyway, the article goes on to say, the only way Big Pharma can maintain its market monopoly position is if the public is kept in the dark regarding negative publicity about medicines. And today, censorship has become pivotal to Big Pharma's marketing model. So now, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram are going all in with Monsanto and the pharmaceutical giants through coordinated censorship. After all, anyone who uses organic products, supplements, or natural measures to combat disease or prevent disease is a lost revenue source to Big Pharma. And to enforce this profit model, the tech giants are deliberately becoming anti-knowledge gatekeepers. For example, Google Search no longer returns results on cutting-edge data contrary to vaccines or traditional cancer treatments like chemotherapy. Instead, Google search results block articles and data that discuss natural, non-pharmaceutical cures. So, in effect, Big Tech has agreed to collude with Big Pharma, creating an online drug racket, eliminating all speech that contradicts the propaganda coming out of Big Pharma. even though it's been uncovered that the pharmaceutical industry has been steeped in their own brand of science fraud, including bribery of doctors, falsifying data, illegal experiments, price fixing, etc., etc. But it gets worse. Google will not stop at penalizing natural healthcare sites. Now, get this. It says Natural News has also learned that Google's algorithms are being aggressively modified to penalize or block all websites that promote Donald Trump, conservatism, and Christianity. Now, you probably knew that already, and you probably didn't care, but you should. You know the old saying, give them an inch and they'll take a mile? The problem is, if you're searching for one of those blocked sites, you're going to end up on lists. A lot of them. Even more lists than you're already on already. So then, how will you know? It says the browser will either display a warning message when users attempt to access one or more of these sites, warning that this site contains dangerous information, or it will simply block access altogether. In essence, it says websites that promote the natural healing arts, herbal medicine, supplements, or any of the non-traditional healing arts will be categorized by Google as suspicious and/or malicious websites, just like the messages you see on hacking sites that contain malware. Then it says, these measures will be in effect for all Google products, including YouTube, Google News, Google Maps, Google Drive, etc. Then it says Google will also report the logged-in user who tries to visit those sites, adding a social penalty score to that user, mirroring Communist China's social penalty score system we've all heard about. Then, this social scoring system will later be used by Google to deny certain services to users who are considered a risk or untrustworthy, according to Google's standards and algorithms. Problem is, it's already been documented that Google Chrome is sophisticated spyware, as evidenced by Jeffrey K. Fowler, columnist for The Washington Post. Recently, he took a deep look at Google Chrome and was shocked by what he found. He says it tracks everything, not just your location either. Everything, even if you disable the features. So what's this all mean for you? Well, now is the time to switch to a new web browser. But it gets worse. What The Washington Post did not report is that Google is building a China-style social score apparatus, and that accessing unapproved websites will result in a penalty for that user. And if the user accumulates too many penalty points, his access to Gmail, YouTube, WhatsApp, and other Google websites like Google Maps and Google Docs can be blocked. And it's been more than hypothesized that Google and Facebook will collaborate, share data, and social penalty scores, which would mean you could easily get locked out of Facebook's so-called Libra cryptocurrency wallet too. By the way, I wouldn't use that Libra cryptocurrency for anything. Only an idiot would trust Mark Zuckerberg with their private debts after all the privacy and data breaches there lately. But that's another story. Then it says, over the last year, Natural News has been warning the world that severe censorship is coming for alternative medicine websites. But almost no one paid attention or believed the warning. Meanwhile, the tech giants like Google were censoring political content and those alternative healthcare sites, believing they wouldn't be affected because they only published food and health information. They rarely spoke of politics. But now, as we've seen in the last few months, censorship by tech giants does not stop at politics. Even now, tech platforms like Vimeo and MailChimp are banning alternative health and vaccine awareness channels outright. The unfortunate truth is, so many people accepted political censorship because they hated Trump. So they stood back and said nothing. They were even in some ways happy about it. Then as the big tech censorship machine expanded, suddenly every single alternative medicine website is a target. Man, that sucks, but it figures. So there you have it, another wake-up call to get yourself the hell out of Dodge. It seems every week there's some outrageous story like this. Yet people, most people that is, just sit back and take it. Yep, there are lots of very smart people still dancing away on the deck of the Titanic. And lately, more and more I've been getting emails from people saying, Johnny, I don't get it. What's happening? They're tightening up all the residency requirements in those Latin American countries you told us were so easy to get residency in. Yeah, right. Well, you know, for 9 years I've been saying one by one, the countries are tightening up. And now you're telling me it's getting tougher and tougher? Listen, I've been advising you to get that Plan B going from day one. Because these countries change their rules at the drop of a hat. But human nature, man, everybody's got excuses. I hear the same refrain all the time from expat wannabes. They say, Johnny, you're 100% right. I get it. Hey, I'm ready. It's south of the border for me. Just 4 short years when my last kid gets out of college. Then there's those wannabes that are waiting on retirement. Just 7 more years and I'm retired, Johnny. And then it's nothing but Mai Tais and pina coladas for me. And sometimes I'll respond to those emails and I'll say, don't you think you've got it a little ass backwards? World events don't run on your retirement clock or your daughter's graduation schedule. You get the point. And if you don't, remember, the whole point of having a plan B is that it's an insurance policy. You don't have to wait till you get that first Social Security check or for some epic family event to get that foreign country residency started. Because checking out a Latin country, getting a residency started, finding a local Latin lawyer, opening a bank account, and scouting out a few neighborhoods you might want to live in, those are your main first steps. The question is, why do so many people procrastinate? You can do things a step at a time. You don't have to jump in head first. I don't recommend it. I repeat, the world does not run according to your schedule. That's why you have to act now. Or you could just sit back and keep watching YouTube videos and reading blogs, planning and postponing, finding yet another excuse and planning and postponing yet again. But man, can't you see we're at the 11th hour? I'm not saying there's no time left. You've got time. But those windows of opportunity are closing fast. But where were we? Oh yeah, back to the article. Well, by now, I'm sure you're thinking, what can I use besides Google? Well, first off, I suggest you get a private email service. It's going to cost you a few bucks, maybe 30 bucks a year or so. That would be StartMail or ProtonMail. I use StartMail myself. It really is fantastic. And then there's StartPage, which is part of StartMail. That's a general search engine like Google, except it doesn't track, log, or file you. Or you can use DuckDuckGo. Same thing. And it's always wise to have a VPN, you know, IP changer, so they can't backtrack where your computer is or where you are either. Now, I use a VPN by Proton, so all that stuff might set you back 50 or 60 bucks a year. Then you're pretty much immune from the malignant social media sites. But alas, everyone's somewhat addicted to social media, right? Even I have a Gmail site for the expat files, but there's nothing critical going on there. I save the private stuff for StartMail. Yet sometimes I'm forced to use Google Maps. And WhatsApp, man, you know, that's owned by Google. In fact, they won't even let you hook up with WhatsApp unless you have a Gmail account. But you don't have to use it. However, remember, if you're in Latin America, Google and the other malignant social media sites don't much care about you because they've already determined the net worth of the average Latin Americans about 1/10 that of a gringo. So it'll be a long, long time before they start filing, tagging, and tracking people here. That's one very positive aspect of the Latin American lag time effect. So when you come down here to Latin America, you got plenty of time to prepare to be more anonymous. I'm talking about having a much smaller internet footprint. That means right away you should be much more cautious about who you give your name, phone number, and address to. Oh, and by the way, I mentioned on a previous show that it seems like everywhere you go, people ask you for your phone number. You go to a pharmacy. When you're checking out, they ask for your phone number. When you're at your bank, when you're paying your electric bill, they ask for your phone number. When you're buying something at a big hardware store, they ask for your phone number. Now, don't ask me why. I guess they're all compiling lists. Anyway, a while back, when businesses would ask me for my phone number, I used to get a little irate and say, what for? You give me yours, I'll give you mine. But now I don't bother, it's not worth it. I just rattle off an old phone number I don't use anymore. Or I give my present phone number and I flip 2 digits. So they have a number that's nearly mine, but it's not. And they all seem to be satisfied with that. And my real number doesn't end up on anyone's list. It's a win-win for privacy. Oh, and a lot of times they'll ask you for your home address too. Well, you can either give him your lawyer's address, he doesn't mind, or give him a fake one. Though it can be difficult to make up a fake address on the fly. So just give him an old address where you're not living anymore. They always seem to be happy with that, too. Of course, if you're dealing with a person or a business where they absolutely need your address, like if they're going to deliver something, of course you give them the right address. But I almost never have people deliver stuff right to my place. I'll almost always go to their place of business and pick it up. I just don't want random people or businesses showing up at my door or knowing where I live. So when you get down here to Latin America, those are some of the ways you can decrease your footprint and get back a lot of your privacy. But you have to have a plan and some discipline from day one. Here's a good example how you can control that and make it work for you. When you sign up as a member for a big box store like Costco, they call them Price Mart here in Latin America, when you fill out the details to get that membership card, don't give them your last name. Suppose your name is Jeff William Lebowski. Well, this is Latin America, and people have two names, three names, even four names, plus mother's last name. And with each one, you can fabricate a brand new email on the application form. And when they ask you for your phone number and address, flip a few numbers on your phone number and give them an address where you used to live. Then you can be sure whatever list you end up on, they won't be able to contact you. That goes for emails, too. That's why I like StartMail so much. You see, it's a paid service, but you get 10 alias emails of your choice. And you can void them and delete them at will and add more, but you can't have more than 10. And 10 is plenty. So what I've done is I've set up an alias and created an associated email that I give out to businesses and websites when they, for example, like Amazon, need to send you a verification code. They'll do that once in a while, you know? And then I set up another email alias for one-shot deals. Like, for example, if you're going for a report on the internet and it says, give us your email address and we'll send you the report. And you know you're getting on a list or a lot of lists. But that's also the only way you're going to get the report. So they'll send that report in a couple of minutes, and once it arrives, you can delete that email. Then you'll never get any crap from them again or anyone else they've sold it to. I'm sure you're starting to see the advantages of having some multiple email aliases. It sure beats creating a bunch of accounts through Gmail, Hotmail, Yahoo, whatever, and being loaded down with spam, junk mail, and pop-up windows. Anyway, the so-called free email services aren't free. They're collecting data on you, and you're worth a lot of money to them. But ProtonMail and StartMail, they don't collect anything. But then again, you gotta pay for those services. Speaking of emails, I got one the other day from Dave, one of our Expat Insider seminar attendees, and in it, he referred back to that show when I was talking about how more and more young adult and adolescent Latino males are starting to wear those horrible ass crack pants. You'll really like Dave's take on this. He starts out, "Hi, Johnny. I think if you let Latino men know the origin of ass crack pants, being that they're so macho, you'd certainly see a sharp decline in their use. Turns out, the low-hanging pant style came originally from male prison prostitutes. Because, you see, low-rider pants allow easier rear entry. And the guy wearing them is not only advertising that fact, he can get down to business in a hurry and earn his cigarettes. I wonder if you knew that, Johnny. Signed, Dave from San Diego." Well, Dave, I wonder how you knew that. Though, I have to say, Dave, your email really made me crack up. Poor choice of words there. But you are absolutely right. With such a macho society, if they knew that, I'm sure they'd hoist them up in a hurry. But then again, you'd think the first world moronic hip-hop and rap crowd would be well aware of what goes on in the joint. It proves the point that dumb can be trained, but stupid is forever. Oh, and here's a little something you ought to know if you come down here to Latin America. The word for cash money is not cash in Spanish. It's efectivo, like effective with an evo after it. Efectivo. There are lots of other words for cash money, but efectivo is the most common and formal. For example, when you say plata or dinero, those refer to any kind of money, including cash, credit card, or check. By the way, speaking of checks, which are barely used down here in Latin America, though if you open a bank account, often you'll get a checkbook. Even so, you'll almost never see people writing checks, except at a big chain grocery store like Walmart or Costco. Then you'll have to produce all kinds of extra ID. And still, they might not take it. I wonder why. By the way, if you come down here to Latin America and you've got some checks with you, they'd be in dollars, of course, you will be able to use them under certain circumstances. For example, if you're going to deposit money in a bank down here, you're going to pay your lawyer or a doctor. But get this, in almost all cases, if you write a check, it'll take about 30 days to clear. In other words, your dollar check will work all right, even though your checking account up in Cleveland is in dollars. When it finally clears, it'll get converted into local funny money when that person deposits the check, or I should say about 30 days after that person deposits the check, which is an absolute terrible way to do business. But I've seen it done, especially when gringos come down and, for example, want to put a deposit down on a piece of land or pay their lawyer or rent an apartment, whatever. Because when you first come down, you won't have a bank account. That will usually come after you've hooked up with a lawyer and you've been in the country a couple days or a week or more, depending on how you push your lawyer. And remember, here in Latin America, if you're a gringo, it's very difficult to open a bank account without a lawyer. Almost impossible. And or not having applied for residency. But at least most businesses and professionals will take your check. But then there's that 30-day thing. Man, don't you just hate banks? Long live crypto, huh? All right, speaking of crypto, you know at my Expat Insider seminars, I always have two crypto specialists to give us a nice thorough review about the state of crypto and crypto mining, as well as crypto investing, moving your crypto around, and, well, everything you wanted to know about the present state of cryptocurrency and how to buy, sell, and use it. And at the seminar, we always have Mr. B on hand to tell us how to make $20 an hour or more teaching English to Chinese students online from anywhere. Yep, he's a pro at that. And he'll be doing his thing at the seminar telling us how that's done. And he and the crypto guys, the famous Oscar Miner and the even more famous Bitcoin Dan, will be hanging with us too, so you can ask him your individual questions. And of course, Captain Mango is always hanging with us at our seminars, and he's no crypto slouch. He's well into the crypto world too, and in fact has done some crypto training sessions on the side with expats who really want to get into it. So we've got Captain Mango as a very good crypto resource too. In fact, we've got the whole crew here, a very cool crypto community. And you'll meet them all at my upcoming Expat Insider Seminar, which starts January 10th, 2020, goes through January 16th. And for all the info, the agenda, and the sign-up details, just go to www.theexpatfiles.com and click on Johnny's seminar link, or just go to www.theexpatfiles.com/seminar. And for those of you who are coming down as a single and want to save $750 and hook up with someone, double occupancy in the hotel room, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Explain your situation. We'll try to hook you up. And remember, you can kill two birds with one stone by coming down to the seminar, spending an extra week after the seminar, and applying for Guatemalan residency, which, as you might know already, leads to the full passport and citizenship after 5 years of permanent residency. So if you're looking to apply for residency too, our seminar lawyer will hold your hand through the whole process. All right, enough said about that. But before we sign off today, I have to mention the fact that a childhood buddy from up in Chicago, who's a teacher in the Chicago Public Schools now, I just was in contact with him. He says the whole school system's completely in the crapper, which we all knew already. I mean, after all, it is Chicago. He said, you wouldn't believe the snowflake rules that come down weekly from the principals, administrators, and the school board. In fact, he said, this week's rule is that teachers can no longer use red marking pens when they're grading papers. Because, you see, red is an aggressive color and could cause negative feelings and low self-esteem in those poor, fragile little snowflakes. Now remember, we're talking about the Chicago school system, which is such a success that you're not allowed to graduate as a 12th grader unless you read at least the 4th grade level. I know, it's the red marking pens, right?
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.